Hello, good morning and welcome to Core Finance. Happy Monday to all you viewers out there. We're joined down the line by Clem Chambers, who is the founder and CEO of ADVFN. Good morning to you, Clem. Are you well? Or it's not quite morning yet where you are, I believe.
Well, it's definitely early morning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning here. So there you go. That'll teach me to be on the wrong continent at the wrong time.
Well, fantastic. Well, thanks very much for staying up or getting up early to join us today. We're going to start off with Bitcoin pushing higher. You've always been a fan of Bitcoin. Where do we go from here?
It's a very good question, actually. And I need to sit down and actually write an article for Forbes about it, or even one of my own publications. Where does Bitcoin stop? I mean, obviously, a lot of people think yesterday. But I think it's got a lot further to go. You're looking at, with Bitcoin, let's say if all the Bitcoins, including altcoins together, are at, say, 200 billion, just to keep the numbers round, well, that's a 25th of the value of all the gold in the world, which is 5 trillion. There are very rough numbers, but to give you a scale, if you wanted to add up all the corporate debt, all the sovereign debt, all the equities in the world, you're going to get to about $300 trillion. So $300,000 billion. So what's 1% of that? You see, that's quite a big number. Well, it's obvious what 1% of that is. It's, a lot. And Bitcoin is nowhere near that yet. So, you know, if it got to 1% of that $300 trillion, that'd be $3 trillion. That would be a lot higher than today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could easily go, 10 times. So at 10 times, you're looking at $50,000 of Bitcoin. And I'm kind of comfortable with that number. $100,000 of Bitcoin, I'm starting to get a bit sweaty. You know, the other way of looking at it is, how many blooming little bits of a Bitcoin are there? Well, there are 100 million. So if you had 1 cent equals one Satoshi, you'd then be at a different number again, which would be, I think off the top of my head, it is 3 a.m. in the morning here, is getting towards $1 million a Bitcoin. And although trees don't grow to the skies, there is a great shortage of money out there. If you look at America, America has $13 trillion of money, M2, okay? Well, it has $20 trillion, allegedly, of U.S. debt. So there's a gap between money and sovereign debt, after all the issue of American currency, of $7 trillion. And Bitcoin and the likes are going into this vacuum, that vacuum caused by central banks, who are actually trying to avoid doing QE and getting inflation. So they are actually, they're not really printing money. There is a lack of M2. And you can look it up yourself. I mean, it's like not a very difficult thing to do to find out that American M2 is $7 trillion short of the government's borrowing alone, let alone the fact that there are $25 trillion worth of equity assets in America, in the NYSE and NASDAQ, and that there's another, well, obviously $20 trillion of government debt. And then, of course, there's corporate debt on top of that, and you get to a number of $75 trillion worth of these obvious paper assets. Well, US at 25% of GDP of the world, multiply that by 4 to get a big round number, and you can probably find a totally accurate number if you kind of Google the right site. Mm-hmm. A $1 trillion worth of altcoin is really not a huge deal. And that's 5 times up from here, roughly, which would put Bitcoin at $25,000. So as long as you believe that there is a future for this currency and this technology in the world, it's probably got a lot further to go. And another way of looking at it is, hey, Bitcoin is worth $100 billion. Isn't that amazing? Well, actually, it's the sum total value of Vodafone PLC listed on the London Stock Exchange. So all this massive furore, you know, China banning it, Russia making a national currency yesterday, Japan embracing it, someone else saying no, you know, that's all over like a company the size of Vodafone. So the hue and cry alone is vastly larger than its market cap today is actually copathetic with. So, you know, I think personally it's got a long way to go, but I am talking my own book. I am up to my ears in crypto coin. I am just staring at my various crypto coin accounts going, holy cow, this is good. So, you know, tomorrow it's just a high risk game. It's hard to say, but I think it's going to go a lot further for fundamental reasons. And we are kind of seeing that happen, you know, right now.
And talking about going a lot further, equity markets, certainly in the US, reaching highs that we've seen, can fundamentally equity markets push higher?
Well, in the near term, they can. In the very, very near term, there's only one question you have to ask yourself is, are they going to do reverse QE? If they are going to do reverse QE, that means the reverse of QE. And equities went up because of QE. And if America goes into reverse QE, the opposite must happen, doesn't it? Now, obviously, the QE thing, which has been going on, still goes on. Because they have to row those debts every month. I can't remember the exact numbers at 3 a.m. in the morning. I think it's $7 billion dollars worth of it's whatever it is. $5 trillion divided by 7 year maturation. That's how much cash comes in from maturity of all these debts. And they have to take all those billions. Sorry, I think it's $80 billion a month, and they have to find new bonds to put it in. And that is an upward pressure on financial instrument values. Okay, so if that value goes into bonds, it also then spills into equities. So that's what's been driving the price. And while that has to go on, that's going to push the price. But the moment you start taking liquidity out of the market, you start saying, hey, your cash, I'm having that for my bond. You know, do you want it? The moment you start taking that cash out, the moment it goes into reverse. Now, at the moment, the money's coming, you know, the tide's coming in. But as soon as reverse QE happens, the tide will start to go out. You know, that can't be good, can it, for equities? So I'm braced for that. Now, what could happen is they could go, oh, dear, hurricanes, yes. No, we're not going to do any of that reverse QE stuff. Oh, we need to look at some more numbers. Oh, we're data dependent. Not sure about the data. And the contra theory is that it's going to be zero interest rates forever, a QE forever. They're never, ever going to reverse that. Well, I think under Trump, who's threatened to shut the whole Fed down, they will do what the right wing does, which is make hard money. Right. I.e., you know, less of this QE stuff we don't understand. You know, what about some gold bars in there? You know, that's what the right wing think. And therefore, the Fed will go, well, I guess so. Let's stand, first of all, unwind QE, shall we, boys and girls? And let's see what that does for you. And so that reverse QE, it's almost like telling Donald Trump, yeah, you know, killing the Fed is not such a great idea. We've done what you've asked us to do. And oh, look, we've had a stock market crash. How do you like that? How does that talk to your base? Yeah. So I think economically, politically, the Fed are going to tighten, even if it does cause a crash, because that's what those in power are calling for. And the thinkers on the right believe that actually gold money should be gold. I mean, how hilarious is that? Yeah. So, you know, they are going to go down that path of tightening. And when the Fed starts saying, do you want some of my bonds? And people start saying, well, not these interest rates, mate. You've got to be kidding me. They're going to have interest rates will go up automatically. So interest rates go up. Money gets tight as well as interest rates going up. So it's not like you can borrow money. It's harder to borrow money, and you've got to borrow at a higher rate of interest. Equity's going to go up then? Ask yourself that. And we'll know very soon, because they're promising to start that reverse QE RSN real soon now. And as soon as they start to do it, I'm going to think you're going to hear a massive clash of gears and a massive screeching sound, and a huge cloud of black smoke's going to rise, and that's what we call back in the old days a bit of a crash. So that's what I'm getting ready for. And if they do suddenly go reverse QE and the market doesn't go down, well, you know, I'll have to reevaluate. But that's the turning point that I think will upset all this buy the dip stuff, and we'll make that sell every spike run away. And if they all head for the exit all at the same time, you know what happens next, right?
Exactly. So tin hat time. Well, there I've got to stop you, Clem, but as ever, very insightful. Thank you so much for joining us down the line. Hopefully you get your head down, and we'll catch up with you very, very soon.
My pillow awaits.